Okay, we're going.
Yeah, now you say, you got multiple stories going on here. Say that.
Okay, so you seem to have multiple stories going on here, so where do you want to start?
All right, well, I have to have pretty well all the stories in here. I want to have everything in here. Remember, on the Dobbs formula chart, we'll call that, well, maybe I'll just keep saying Dobbs formula, the formula chart, that has five figures, ALP, Shimshon, Izzy, and HCE at the top there, right?
Right, from Finnegan's Wake.
Right, right. So there's some Finneganese going on here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Finneganese, or Finnegan's Wake, is seen to be a book that tried to write the history of the world, the history of all kinds of different subjects, try to cram everything in there. So we begin with that, that we have to deal with everything, because the Android meme replays everything from 1960 to 1990. Now, that's jumping ahead, but that's a conclusion. So I do want to have everything in this chart. It's a compact, homeopathic distillation and updating of Finnegan's Wake.
Okay.
But it's made compact and distilled by being a piece of paper or a flat image. I mean, I've got automobiles in the chart here. You don't see automobiles, but we could make on a website an image there. But just have AUTOMOBILE. I just got the word. But it represents the whole environments of automobiles. And those are massive landscapes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is a real tiny glossing over of everything that we're living in. Okay, so the outline, I want to say this part. In the Bob Dobbs formula, which is the chart. Bob Dobbs formula is a chart because it goes from 1750 to 2020.
Mm-hmm.
If you notice at the bottom, on the far left, it says anthropomorphic physical in section, that's the eighth parallel, and then underneath that, the ninth, is a flat line.
Yes.
The flat line has opposite, beside it on the right, holopathic cliche probes, and let's see, and above it, in the ALP section. So we're going to be wandering around. It's like looking at Finnegan's Wake. You first look at it, you don't know where you are. You're always in the middle.
So we're wandering over a highlight in history.
Yeah, I'm just trying to begin to see where to get started. But I'm going to start here. This is an attempt to start. If you look at the, I should have said look at the flat line section. We'll call it row 9, level 9.
Right.
Oh, no, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, that's... Yeah, that's level 9. And then the one above it, level 8, anthropomorphic physical. And then level 7 is holopathic cliche probes. And if you go across, it says 1960 to 77, opposite holopathic cliche probes, on the formula chart, right?
Yes.
Then the AP, anthropomorphic physical, goes across 77 to 92. Now we look at the Bob's Tiny Note chart. If you look at the bottom in the right-hand corner of the little Rumpelstiltskin quadrant,
mm-hmm.
It says 1960 to 1990. So this tiny note chart is that 30-year period. But if we go back to the formula chart, the row 7, holopathic cliche probe, 60 to 77, and anthropomorphic physical, 77 to 92, covers the same period. It's 60 to 92, like 60 to 90 in general, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the holopathic row 7, anthropomorphic physical row 8, imagine taking that out of the Dobbs formula chart and placing it into a second chart. It's spiraled out, or it's jumped out. You see what I'm saying? That is what the tiny note chart is. It's that, it's row 7 and 8, exaggerated or details made, details illustrated.
Okay, so you're emphasizing this section, this bottom section here.
Yeah, the tiny note chart emphasizes row 7 and 8.
Okay, so...
Now, there's a reason that happens. You may have heard me say that the satellite is an extension of the planet. So when the satellite environment starts to be built with Sputnik in October 57, over the next 10 years,
mm-hmm.
it's becoming more and more an environment. That's the end. The planet's been extended. That's the end of our extensions. So after that, rounded off, 1960, 1990, something else is taking place. It's technology taking on a life of its own, which I call the Android meme, and going on its own course and replaying the history of technology that humans made, which are highlighted in the formula chart from 1750 to the satellite and laser beam level, 1945 to 1960, right? So from 1750 to 45-60 period, which is the satellite and laser beam on the left of the formula chart, right? That's level 6, right?
6, so now we're on 6.
Yeah, level 6 on the Bob Dobbs formula chart.
Okay, are you working backwards? Or
No, I'm just saying that indicates satellite and laser beam, 45 to 60.
Yes.
That's the end of the human process.
What do you mean, on a linear level?
Yeah, or all the things that humans made.
Okay.
Because I say from 60 to 90 is the end where meme is making itself, using us as the go-betweens, but the... From 1690, which is the chart, the tiny note chart, is the replay of 1975 to 1960 on the formula level, on the formula chart.
Mm-hmm.
You see that? Working for the principle that once TV extended our central nervous system,
right,
the computer enhanced that a little more, then the satellites extend not just us, but the whole planet. All right? Everything.
Yeah, I'm with you.
So that means that's the end of the human extensions.
Okay.
What happens after that, until cold fusion, which is going to happen sometime in the future after 1960, the invention and making an environment of cold fusion, in the interim, we're in a purgatory of technology taking on life of its own and redoing what humans do, what humans made, and it is redoing what humans made because it's trying to become human.
It. What's it?
The android meme.
Okay, because you said we, and then you said it. So we are it?
Yeah, we are it. Well, it's doing us.
Okay.
You see, from 60 to 90, the period of the android meme, that technology leaving its human catalyst and making its own self. All right? It's creating its own self from itself. But what is it using as a map or a guide to do that? What humans had done before it, up to 1960.
Okay.
So it's going to replay the history of human technological evolution rapidly in 30 years. The tiny note chart is a picture of that replay of our technological evolution.
All right. Okay. So this is what it comes off of.
That's why, yeah, that's why after 4560, level 7 on the formula chart, you then come to holopathic creature probes, level 8, anthropomorphic physical, level 9. Those two are the end or mean period, 60 to 92, technically, on the formula chart, right?
Okay.
That, now I pull that out, and we'll show that. And it's good to, it's important to separate the second chart, tiny note chart, from the Dobbs formula, because the Dobbs formula is generally what humans did. The second chart, the tiny note chart, is what the android memes did.
Right, and that's that environment you're talking about that you named.
Yes. The environment being named?
Yes. You named it the android meme, right?
Yes. The environment taking on itself. And there's a reason for that name. That name we go into later. We can just, without using that name, just say tiny note chart is the replay by technology imitating what humans did.
Okay. Makes sense.
Right. Now, looking at the formula chart, at the bottom, the ninth level is a flat line.
Mm-hmm.
That means we've moved into cold fusion.
Somewhere between 90 and 2020.
Yes, it becomes an environment.
Okay.
And that's like the Mayan calendar, when it, as I've said to you before, when it ends in 2012 because the Mayans didn't know what the hell was coming after that. It had no conception of it because they did not understand frictionless based energy sources.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of people have been talking about 2012, 21.
Yeah, that's because of the Mayan calendar and then Terrence McKenna popularized it.
Yeah.
If you notice, I have me 2012 in the third column to the right.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Yes.
I got the 2012 reference in there, but it's lockdown Bob rules 1990 to 2020.
Okay.
So that's a little figure. You would go up to see what is in that column, and you look up above and you see anthropomorphic, sociological, / psychological, mass, / leg. But we'll go into these meanings later. I do want to show you, when we go back to level 8, it's called anthropomorphic physical.
Right.
That means, that word refers to human beings, or what we think are human, and all technology has extended the AP, or the anthropomorphic physical. We're going around trying to find out what we're made of, from our view, from our perspective, and in the product, made language and all the technologies that came from it, as byproducts of our sifting around in the sands of ourselves trying to find out what we are, right?
Okay.
So that's why, when you go to the tiny note chart, the bottom level, the Dobbs quadrant, is AP, because the LaRouche, McLuhan, Thompson, Croker quadrants represent the extensions from the AP. Just, you know, extensions from the extensions by technology of the human essence, whatever that essence is. So since the tiny note chart is a reflection of the Android meme extending and imitating humans, it is kind of like an AP extending itself, or it's trying to imitate that process, which is shown on a longer level on the first formula chart, right?
Yes.
So if you look at the tiny note chart, it actually goes from top to bottom, from the Dobbs quadrant up, because the first four quadrants are above it, are represent extensions of the AP. Now, there's another point here. We're writing up there for Andy that...
Now, this is history of what came off of this formula chart onto this chart, right?
When you say history, you mean my history? I'm not sure what you mean by that.
Yes, like why this came off of this.
Oh, yeah.
Because this wasn't enough, basically, and you were like, let's focus on this section, and then you brought this out, all this stuff out.
When did you ask me to focus on a particular section?
No, you did. You focused on... sections 7 through 9, and then actually 8 through 9. No.
Yeah, to show you where the two charts came from.
Right, right. So this is all coming off of that. Wow, you got a lot of information out of that little section there.
I'm not sure what you mean. When you say it's coming off from that, you mean the tiny note chart.
Right, like how did you put it? Spiral.
I see what you mean, right. There's a lot, because I'm saying the Android meme is going to redo us rapidly.
Okay, so
we
it's like...
all that we did, which is a lot, so there's got to be a lot on that chart.
Yeah, there it is.
Right. And if you look down on that tiny note chart in the Rumpelstiltskin section, you know, the part that's on an angle, well, you may be, I'm looking at a paper version, or you're looking at just a flat version, but you know where it says Rumpelstiltskin? On the paper version, it's on an angle, like a handle. All of this is extending from Rumpelstiltskin. And what is above Rumpelstiltskin? The ratio between the formula chart to the tiny note chart.
Cliche probes, flipping, ground, that part?
Yes.
Okay.
Figure and ground. Bob Dobbs' formula at the end has figure, in brackets.
Mm-hmm.
Tiny note has ground. And the relationship of those two charts is what the charts are explaining, which I have just done to you. I've shown that the tiny note chart comes out of has a relationship, a ratio to the formula chart.
Okay.
Right?
Right.
So that's the meaning of the Rumpelstiltskin little quadrant down there.
Okay.
So, let's see... Oh, yeah, in Up the Orfeandi, which you probably read at one point, and then part two, Silencing the Solar, Virtually Solar Theater. In there I talk about the fusion of first and second nature, which has never happened. But I say cold fusion represents the first time the extensions of man acquire the characteristics of first nature.
It never happened?
Not yet, but it will with cold fusion.
You mean like a machine-human interface?
No, frictionless energy.
Oh, okay.
You know, perpetual motion.
Right.
Something that doesn't wind down has immortality. And you could say that the sun in our universe is immortality because it just stays here. It might mutate, but it stays.
Mm-hmm.
It's always here. So to the degree that the universe is immortal, the first nature world, the world we didn't supposedly, from the human perspective, make, we were put in this world in relation to it anyway, so... see, I'm careful when I say into it. That's visual space, that's container. But other cultures don't see themselves in the world, they participate with it. They have a different relationship. It's the visual biased person that thinks it's inside something, right?
Yes. Yeah.
That's what McLuhan meant when he said visual space is the only sense that can be isolated from the others. And so when we went into the alphabet in the alphabetic Western Gutenberg era, we were able to have a fulcrum, a sense of a fulcrum from which to move the world. And that's because we extended visual space, which is the only sense that can be isolated out of the other matrix, out of the other senses. So we always think we're inside something. whereas any pre-literate cultures don't think they're inside anything. They kind of mime it, participate it, and re-energize it, think they got to grow it. Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so the cold fusion is going to be the first thing made by humans that has perpetual energy, because it doesn't wear out.
Okay.
It gives out more energy than goes into making it. It's not friction. Not friction-based, so that'll be a total breakthrough. Such a breakthrough, even the Mayan science couldn't imagine what it was. That's why they ended the calendar in 2012. They didn't know what was coming next. It didn't mean any. It didn't make any sense.
Oh, that's what you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's a good way to put it.
Yeah. And so I'm saying that the Android meme, which is software, and friction-based because we still pay for it. Humans still have to pay for rent, all right? But when we have frictionless energy, we won't need to pay for anything, because you'll have the ultimate energy, you'll have eternal energy to heat yourself, warm yourself, cook food, all right? So the friction-based society is still here until cold fusion comes as an environment. Just a second. Okay, see ya. And,
Hey, this should be a prototype.
What should be a prototype?
This recording.
Oh, well, yeah, everything I do is a prototype. We never get past it.
No. I mean, seriously, it should be a prototype because there's some kinks.
What do you mean by prototype?
Like a prototype, like the next recording will be a little bit more fluid, I think.
Oh, yeah.
As exchange goes.
Well, no, there shouldn't just be flow. If there's interaction and learning going on, there's always groping and bumping into things.
Oh, yeah.
And surprises.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, too.
Yeah, so you're saying that, for a second there, you were saying that prototype means, oh, this is a bit groping around. And you
exactly, but you knew what I was talking about, and you put it better, yeah.
Yeah, no, we don't worry about that, because that's how you create involvement. If you tell a linear, straight, smooth story, people will fall asleep.
Oh, yes, and there's no drama in there.
Yeah, we have to have the drama.
Okay.
Because, you know, I may discover new things about this chart that I hadn't thought of before, you know?
I've
thought many things of it, but I might not think of everything, and so in the course of talking to somebody, you know, intently, attentively, new things come out.
Okay.
I've talked about the chart with a lot of people one-on-one through the years, so I've thought a lot about it, you know?
Yeah, you can tell.
Yeah. And because the chart, in some sense, came out of me, so I'm wondering what I produced, too, just like anybody else is.
Right.
So I was explaining how the cold fusion will be frictionless.
Yes.
As an environment. But before that, we're still in a friction-based society like humans have always been. And in the West, the friction is expressed over the need to deal with money.
Mm-hmm.
Which is always running out, right?
Yeah.
You know, you got to get more just to keep going. My theory or projection was, in that the orbic ante was, that the Android meme, in this interval before the actual realization of the cold fusion environment, will mime the cold fusion immortality as much as possible, but never actually get to it, because it's just a software version. It doesn't heat us, doesn't feed us, it doesn't give us shelter, it's not a hardware structure. So, the Android meme is going to, from 60 to 90, was imitating the merger of first and second nature. I don't know if I expressed that enough. When I talk about friction, when we make a technology that has the characteristics of first nature, in other words, when second nature, like cold fusion, has the immortal characteristics, frictionless characteristics of first nature, I say they've merged. We finally made a technology that's really close. We made it, but it has the characteristics of being very similar to first nature. So I say first and second nature merged. The Android meme is going to imitate that merger because it's trying to be a human. It's acting out what humans attempted to do, create something that was like first nature. It never will get there, but it will get pretty close. And so the eternal energy of the information environment, the 24/7 internet datascape world, right? Just this endless, ongoing, relatively free information.
Yeah, it's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah. That is an imitation by second nature, you know, pinnacling, coming to its apex with the Android meme, it is not the Cold Fusion, which is more than first nature, because it imitates and or becomes much like first nature. So before that fusion happens, the Android meme will approximate what the human has been aiming for, which is immortality, as close as possible. And it did it with the last 30 years, the digital sphere. It's a big approximation of immortality, but it's immortality for mind and thought.
To think forever.
Beg your pardon?
To think forever?
No, to dream and experience the mental scape forever.
Hmm.
You know, to experience recordings, music, all the entertainment media, we call them, all the data input, all the ear candy, all the eye candy, all the kinetic movie candy, all the newspaper articles, all it we call information. The whole information sphere is an extension of the brain, and it's largely like a dreamscape, an endless dream, but it is, or fantasyscape, but it leaves us in a tense situation, because you got to drop out of it and do something to pay your rent.
How is it a dream if it's based on reality? It's kind of a combination of both, actually.
Yes, I meant by dream that part of our reality you have when you go to sleep. When you go to sleep, you dream.
Like the fragmented part? How you don't kind of you don't really remember it too much. You just remember like bits and pieces, and you try to chunk it together.
Yeah, and modern science says that the dream is just a processing of the data during the day that the subject took in consciously, consciously was living, taking in data. When it goes to sleep, the mind is processing and putting into some kind of order relevant to the subject's mind or temperament or personality.
Well, how does lucid dreaming fit into that?
There's always something weird in reality. Reality's
That works.
Yeah, that works. My explanation works when you say that works.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, there's always a flip. That's the thing. Because something is never just itself.
No.
It's complementarity, which is everywhere all the time. You got day and you got night. We couldn't have had something without nothing.
Right, you can't have one without the other.
Yeah, and so the Christian belief that life was created on nothing is true. Because you can't have a something without a nothing, and so you had the nothing and something was created out of it. So.
Right, even doing nothing is something.
Beg your pardon?
Doing nothing is doing something.
Yes, so in that sense of, but yeah, in that sense everything is nothing and something slash in between. So, in that interval. So that gets back to our conversation the other day. Everything's always more than you say it is. But the mind enjoys saying what it is. So what things are for... Like, it's like when I speak, I make an error, and that allows you to say something. You'll correct me. That's the dram of cognition. You'll merge with part of what I say, but then block and say, no, what about this? So, and that's natural. See, that's why humans are fragmented. They have to be, or they wouldn't be able to talk. They wouldn't be able to participate in speech.
Right. Yeah, I understand what you mean.
Yeah, and it's right in the physicality, right in the male-female. You couldn't have more males and females unless the male-female was like it is, complementary. And they have to experience life differently.
I'm feeling a bit fragmented right now, actually.
Now, you're talking about right the last 10 minutes or the last 2 weeks? You know, what's the range you mean?
Right now.
I mean, Edward, I'm making you feel it?
Yes. Well, I'm staring at this chart and looking at all this stuff here. And
okay. Well, we can, you know how we bypass that?
No, how we do that?
The main point of the chart is it has no content.
No content at all?
There's no content on these charts.
Well, how is that possible with all the...
Yeah, okay. That didn't work. You didn't like that repair job. Trying to heal your fragmentation, man.
I'll snap out of it. It's just the balance going on, I think.
Yeah, okay. We're not... Don't bring it up unless it's a big problem, because it'll just distract us. If you're actually going to really freak out, then you tell me, hey, Bob, hold it. I'm going down. We're going to keep myself. So we try to keep out our subjective reactions to keep the flow going.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so this merger of first and second nature is really important. I remember I came up with that idea in the middle of the 90s, and and I told Nelson Dahl, and I say, Marshall didn't get this point. And Nelson was thought about it for a while, and he said, you're fucking right. How did Marshall, I remember saying, screaming, how did fucking Marshall miss this? How did he miss this? It was really funny. I was at his home, and he was, you know, sort of tromping around in his bathrobe, and bedroom bathrobe kind of, and he was going, how the fuck, that's right, it's fusion, first, second nature. How did he miss this? Because Barry Nevin used to write about first and second nature. Barry Nevin was McLuhan's colleague, but Marshall never really used those terms. Eric later did, but it was Barry Nevin, as far as I know, who used those terms. So that's the source of it in the McLuhan school. But no one ever talked about the merger of it. So, and the idea that satellite is not the actual cold fusion merger, but the satellite, as defined by Bucky Fuller and McLuhan, was the first time humans made an environment that they could live in off the Earth. So it was a mini Earth. You know, it was a simulation of the terrestrial habitat. And by satellite, I mean a rocket ship, anything you have humans inside of, right?
Is that what you mean by when you say everything's tiny and tiny?
Yeah, everything gets tinier and tinier, yeah. We made a little Earth. A guy could get in, a man or woman get in this satellite, go out there and be off the planet, out there in space where it's lethal. No human can survive out there, but we could survive. So it was like we made a little bit of our heaven, or Earth, and took it with us. So that means that the satellite was a tiny extension of the whole terrestrial environment. That's why we say it's an extension of the planet. But it's a tiny little version, replay of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that is, in a sense, a kind of a merger of first and second nature. We actually made an environment that was much like nature, equal to nature. Of course, it ran out and had to come back, but so I intuited that the satellite was a prefiguring, an anticipatory metaphor for the real coming of merger, first and second nature, cold fusion. Okay? You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So I was saying the satellite prefigures, it's not the merger of first and second nature, but it's pretty close to it, because second nature, humans, via second nature, made first nature. They made a little fucking thing to live in, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, so we're on the track of the fusion of first, second nature, this first attempt by humans with the satellite, you know, back in the late 50s, early 60s. Now, we're going to come to the actual fusion of first and second nature, right, with cold fusion 40 years later, 40, 50 years later. But remember, it was discovered in 89. You know, that's in March 89 is when Pons and Fleischmann announced it.
Right.
So it's around 1990. 30-year process. I remember Duchamp saying that a dark form has a lifespan of about 30 years. A good art, a good painting, a good something lasts about 30 years. I don't know if he meant in all time or just in the 20th century. And then
you mean the effects of it?
Yeah,
or he meant that
the hypnosis, the seduction of it, the charisma of it. After that, new situations have been created, require a new kind of mirror art form.
Well, 30 years is pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
If you think, I mean, even you make it, I mean, 30 years, that's a good, you can't hope for anything more than that.
Yeah, up to Android Meme, up to the 70s and 80s, it was 30 years over the last 150 years. Yeah, you had Impressionism, then you had Cubism, then you had Surrealism, this is in the West, and then you had pop art. Generally 30-year gaps between those major ruptures.
It really started changing after the photograph. That's when it starts getting really interesting.
Now, we talked about the photograph being the first virtual reality, right?
You right, know? But I didn't think that I thought memory would be the currency, not
but
pixel.
No, the photograph is, I'm just reading Baudrillard on the photograph. He's written a lot about it. He says that's the first medium that kills reality.
Yeah, I agree with that, yeah.
That's and that definitely. Was the beginning. 1850 comes in right around the time of the telegraph. That's the beginning of the building of something that led to the planet. I mean, to the satellite, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so in this 30-year period between the satellite and the actualization of cold fusion around 2012 as an environment in China, which is where I say it'll pop out first, we're in this weird limbo phase where technology is okay, you made me, you humans, you First Nature beings made me. Well, I'm going to have 30 or so years to run amok and live out my own reality before I disappear into the merged First and Second Nature situation of cold fusion. You see?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we had 30 or more years, I rounded off 60 to 90, of technology giving humans more and more autonomy, more data heaven, more software experience, just a Baroque spiral of all kinds of media.
Baroque, now that's a art period, isn't it? Right after the Renaissance, correct?
Yeah, right after Shakespeare, 1600s. The Vatican, when the Protestant Revolution came in, 1500s, printing press 1450, Luther 1517, and then you have, by 1600, you start to have these wars. You have these, the new Protestant Reformation wars against the... See, there was the Renaissance, then you had the Reformation with Martin Luther in 1517, and so most of the 1500s is a battle between the Vatican and the new Protestant Church. 100 Years' War, religious wars. Vatican gets beat up pretty bad up till, say, 1620. Then Rome gets a strategy, and they say, we need to make our churches more lavish, luxurious, and virtual,
mm-hmm.
photographic, to bring the masses back into them. So that's when they encourage artists, Michelangelo and Bernini and all these people in Rome, to make very elaborate, arabesque kinds of what we call Baroque detailed flourishes in their painting and that. That's the Baroque period. So the Baroque period, as a cliche now, the Baroque for people means a lavish luxury, overdoing excess kind of thing.
Okay.
That's why I use the term Baroque spirals. Spirals of the human condition, which is God, sex, politics, consciousness, and the spirals of communication.